Hello, and thank you for listening to our online Victory Sermon Archive. In this segment, Pastor Nathan will be bringing a series of messages from the book of Genesis.
Genesis 40 has 23 verses. We'll read it. And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. Put them in word in the house of the captains of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. The captain of the guards charged Joseph with them. He served them. They continued a season inward. They dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream, and one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream. The butler and the baker of the king of Egypt were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. He asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his lord's house, saying, "Wherefore look ye so sadly today?" They said unto him, "We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it." And Joseph said unto them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you." The chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said unto him, "In my dream, behold, a vine was before me. And in the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand." And Joseph said unto him, "This is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee into thy place. Thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand, and after the former manner when thou wast his butler. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon." When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, "I also was in my dream, and behold, I had three white baskets on my head, and in the uppermost basket there was of the manner of baked meats for Pharaoh, and the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head." Joseph answered and said, "This is the interpretation thereof. The three baskets are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, shall hang thee on the tree, and the birds shall eat the flesh from off thee." It came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto his servants. He lifted up his head of the chief butler and the chief baker among the servants. He restored the chief butler unto the butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forget him. Let's pray. Father, I need you tonight. I pray that you'll guide me, direct my thoughts, my mind. I thank you for the opportunity that we have to be here. May our hearts cry out to you. May we worship you. May we want to magnify you. You are holy. You are wonderful. You're magnificent. May our hearts be ready and prepared. I pray that our hearts will continually prepare ourselves to seek your face, to be there to witness your revival in our hearts, and that we'll be able to be used of you mightily. I pray that you'll be with my missionary friends in Cuba. Lord, you know the situations that they face every day. You know what they face on a daily basis. You know what they face on an hourly basis. You know the devil's attacks. You know the lack of freedom they have, the lack of possessions they have. And Father, yet they love you so much. May we take great lesson in knowing that we should love you more. You've been so good to us. You've been so good to us. We thank you for your goodness. And we want to be prosperous, Father, not only so that we can do the things that we need to do around here, but we need to be prosperous so that we can do what we need to do around the world for your sake. The souls that were saved last week, dear God, thank you for them. And I pray that you'll be with this service tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, I want you to know that there were 7 professions of faith in the services last week. 3 Sunday morning when I was able to preach for the dedication service, the Sunday morning dedication service, and then there was 2 saved the night before with Brother Sherwood, and then the 2 ladies that I mentioned before. And I thank God for the souls that were saved. When they get saved, it's not just, hey, yeah, that's a good idea. I mean, they're broken. they just weep and weep and weep and weep. And when I was leaving, the last time I saw the lady, she said, "I know that God is with me." And that's a good thing to know. Here you have Genesis chapter 40. Joseph had been sold into slavery by his brothers, bought by a man by the name of Potiphar. Potiphar's wife accused Joseph of immorality. Joseph, of course, was innocent, and I believe Potiphar knew that. And instead of killing Joseph, he put Potiphar in prison, put Joseph into prison. In prison's where we find Joseph. And I want you to see four things this evening that I believe will be a help to us all. The first thing that I want us to see is I want us to see the guiding hand. The guiding hand. God placed Joseph in Pharaoh's prison. As I mentioned 2 weeks ago, Joseph was not killed for allegedly trying to harm Potiphar's wife. I believe Potiphar knew, and I believe everyone else knew, and because Potiphar thought so much of Joseph, he placed him in the king's prison. He could have killed Joseph. He could have put Joseph in a worse prison, but instead, he put Joseph in the king's prison, which was God's guiding hand. Even when Joseph didn't know what was going on, God was at work behind the scenes. Just like He's at work in our lives too. God has our best interest at heart. I also want you to notice that God had been silent. I'm not sure how long he was at Potiphar's house. I'm not sure how long he was in prison before the butler and the baker showed up on the scene. Could have been in Potiphar's house for up to 5 years. I'm not sure. But it's not far-fetched to think that God hadn't spoken to Joseph in 7 years. It's not far-fetched to think that. The last time Joseph was spoken to of by God was when Joseph dreamed the dreams, remember? And the brothers were angry at Joseph for dreaming the dreams. That's the last time, as far as we know, that God had spoken to Joseph in dream. And now God's been silent in Joseph's life for possibly up to 7 years. In the pit, no voice. In the caravan to Egypt, no known voice. On the seller's block, no sense or word. In Potiphar's house, nothing. In prison, silence. But I want you to know, God's going to show up in a mighty way. Friend, I want you to see the guiding hand of God, but I also want you to see the giving heart of Joseph. Joseph, because God blessed him. Joseph was put in charge of the prison, just like he was put in charge of Potiphar's house. The prison guard said, "You know what, Joseph? You got it, man. I trust you wholly. I trust you solely." And verse 23 of chapter 39, it says, "Because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. And the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand." He never second-questioned Joseph. He never checked on Joseph. He just left Joseph in charge. And so because of God's blessing, now Joseph's in charge of a prison. The butler and the baker are given to Joseph in his ward, if you would. Maybe a cell, maybe a room, and the butler and the baker are placed in the care of Joseph. Joseph's in charge of them. They're new prisoners. Joseph is the one that is responsible for them. They don't know the ropes. Joseph does. They don't have favor with the prison guard. Joseph does. But I want you to see what the Bible says, how Joseph treated them. It says here in verse number 4, "And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them." And look what the Bible says. "And he served them." Joseph's giving heart. Notice that Joseph, even in a bad situation, did not change his character. It did not change who he was. He was a tender-hearted, God-fearing young man. He's in charge of the prison because of his character. The guard trusted him totally. And we find that at the end of 39. But notice that when the two men, the butler and the baker, are brought into the prison, the captain gave Joseph charge over them. And some commentators believe that the season that the Bible says there, they were there for a season, they were there for 1 year. Some commentators believe that these butler and this baker, they did evil to Pharaoh on his previous birthday, and he put them in prison. And a lot of the commentators believe that the season means they were there for at least one whole year. And you'll find that the very next few verses, you'll find that it's coming up to be Pharaoh's birthday. And he releases one and he kills the other. The interesting thing is that even though Joseph was given charge over them, he served them. Joseph had a giving heart. He had a serving heart. He wanted to be there for them. He walks in, they dreamed a dream, they're sad. He looks at them and says, "Why are you sad? What's going on? Can I help you?" When put in a position of leadership, the best leaders are servant leaders. Those that will serve you even though given responsibility over you. I guess the best example of being a servant leader is a parent. You constantly serve your children. You sacrifice for them. You've been given great responsibility over them, and you meet their wants and needs even though you have been given that responsibility. That's a giving heart. Serving those that the world thinks should be serving you, that's a servant leader. Everybody in here has some sort of leadership position. Whether you're a parent, whether you're an employee that has people that work under you, we all have someone that we're responsible for. And my encouragement to you and I is that we need to be servant leaders, leading the way Jesus led by being a servant. Jesus washed the disciples' feet. They didn't want him to. "You're the master. Why are you washing our feet?" That's a slave's job or a servant's job. And Jesus was teaching them to be servant leaders. Joseph understood that characteristic, and we also need to be servant leaders. I want you to see the guiding hand. I want you to see the giving heart. And number three, I want you to see the gifted talent. God gave Joseph a talent to interpret dreams. Not too many people had that talent, but Joseph did, and boy, did he use it. This was not a power that Joseph had. This was a power that God had and he used through Joseph, but Joseph evidently was given that gift by God. Hey, God has given you and me talents as well. The Bible says in James 1:17, "Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." I often wonder how much of the talent and gifts God has given us we're using. Are we using it for His glory? What can you give God? What talent or skill set that He has given you could you give back? Joseph used his talents for the glory of God. And yes, he was hoping that he could get out of prison. He didn't want to be in prison. I mean, the Bible says, "In whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." And I'm sure he learned that lesson, but he didn't want to be there. As a matter of fact, at the first opportunity, he wanted out. When he told the butler, "Hey, butler, you're going to get out of here. Please, don't forget me. I mean, I was put in here for wrong reasons, and I was sold into slavery. I'm a Hebrew. I don't want to be in here. Don't forget me." Joseph used his talents for the glory of God, and yes, he used his talents hoping that he could get out of prison. My point is this: if God has given you a gift or a talent, there's nothing wrong with using that to help your family. You have an ability to work? Work. You have a mind to do some sort of skill set that would help your family financially, monetarily, physically? Do it. If it's ethical, moral, and right, and God has given you that ability and that talent, there's nothing wrong with using that talent for your family, but it's ultimately to be used for the Lord. It was given to you to serve Him first. And yes, Joseph was going to, hey, I interpreted a dream, and I'm doing it for the glory of God, but I went out of prison. Right? I went out of prison. Hey, God has given me the ability to sing, and I'm going to sing it for the glory of God. And if I can make it, and I'm not going to make a CD, but if I can make a CD and sell the CDs and help my family and give to missions and do that, I'm all for it. But my first responsibility to use my talent is for God. What talents do you have? What gifts has God given you that you're holding for yourself? Remarkable when I was over in Cuba what they didn't have and what they got done. It wasn't much better off in January when Dell went over there the first time. Dell set it up for me to come. They were going to have this ceremony, and he said, I want you to be there. I said, okay. And then Adolfo had to get busy. That's why Adolfo sold his house because he didn't have enough money, because the price has expanded in the last year on material. And so he had to sell his house. Moved his family into a very small residence, nothing to what it was. And what they had wasn't a mansion by any means, but man, it was so much more nicer. And I felt really bad for his wife. I felt really bad for his three children. I didn't feel really bad for Wilfredo. Wilfredo, you know, I didn't feel bad for me moving to Fairmont. Be honest with you. I can handle it. But I was concerned for my four children. And the only life they knew was Tennessee. I was concerned about the dwelling that my wife and children used to live in to what they were going to have to live in. And those things crossed my mind as well. And so I can understand, I could sleep on the floor if I have to. But the family sacrificed. That wife in Cuba sacrificed. Those children sacrificed. And I just can't get over it. And we don't even want to come to church if we're tired. We don't want to serve the Lord if it's inconvenient. And here are missionaries on the foreign field selling their house. And they don't even have anything. What gifts and talents are you willing to use for the Lord? And we're so, so selfish. We really are. And this is the most giving church. I'm not talking about you personally. I'm talking about America in general. We are so selfish. We look out for us. We look out for me. We look out for I. But we should be serving Him. What talent, what gift are you holding back that God has given you? I'm not saying you shouldn't use it for your family. Joseph was certainly willing to use his talents to get him out of prison. It's very evident. But I also know that his first responsibility was to God. What are you doing for God? Maybe if you have a skill set, maybe you need to go on a third world mission tour, and maybe you're a carpenter, and you can go over there and you can hammer a nail, and you know how to saw, and you know how to make. Do it. Use that skill. Maybe you have a singing voice. Use it. You say, well, I can carry a tune, but it's not a great tune. Use it. I love children. Use it. I want to see children. I love seeing children come to the Lord. Use it. Hey, you know, not everybody has a burden to work with children. Not everybody has the temperament to work with children. I'm a teenager. I can work with teenagers. Well, I used to be able to work with teenagers. Something happened in the last 3 years where I don't think I can work with teenagers anymore. No, I'm just kidding. But for 17 years, I worked with teenagers, and that was no problem. People were like, man, I can't believe, how do you put up with their attitude? How do you put up with teenagers? Blah, blah, blah. No problem. I love them. And then I'd go into children's church or something, and these little third graders would be running around. Woo! I had to get some right religion. It's just not my temper, but maybe it is for you. Use it. Use it. You know, I just want us to use what we have for the Lord. You know, I believe time is very short. No matter if you and I live another 100 years, that's just a blink in the history of time. And we need to be making hay while the sun shines, I suppose. What I'm saying is you can use what God has given you for pleasure and enjoyment. I have no problem with that. God has no problem with that. You can even help your family, but it should always be used for the glory of God. And finally, I want you to see the gripping silence, the guiding hand, the giving heart, the gifted talent, and the gripping silence. Don't forget me. Pharaoh has a birthday. Bring me the butler. Restore him. Hang the baker. Very telling verse 30:23. And yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. We're not going to go ahead, but if you look at the very next verse, it says, and 2 years later. The gripping silence. For 2 years, Joseph thought he had been forgotten. Again. Prison, Potiphar, pit. Silence, silence. A little voice, silence. 2 years go by and nothing. No dream from God, no interpretations to hear God speak about. We find no communication from God whatsoever, but God wasn't away. God was preparing. He was preparing a kingly role for his servant Joseph. He had plans. But if Joseph would have walked away, he may have missed out on the greatest earthly blessing he could have ever had. I know it gets weary in well-doing. I was thinking about this just the other day. It gets weary in well-doing. You get so tired of being attacked by the devil. You get so tired of being rejected by family and friends about your faith. You get so weary of trials and troubles, and you just want to walk away and throw in the towel. How do you think Joseph felt? I mean, here he goes. He says, God, you talked to me back 7 years ago, and you threw me in a pit, and then you wouldn't talk to me, and you sold me into slavery, and now I was Potiphar's servant. You blessed me, it seemed. And then I was thrown into prison. It's not getting any better. You communicated with me for a little time, and then he went and forgot me. I give up. I'm so tired of this roller coaster. You ever felt that way? I'm so tired of the roller coaster of life. I'm so tired of the ups and downs in the Christian walk. It seems like if I'm trying to do right, the devil just wants to knock me in the teeth, and I'm so weary of it. You ever been there? God knew you would be there. That's why he pitched this verse in the Bible. Galatians 6:9, Paul says, let us not be weary in well-doing. Did you hear that? Paul said, let us not be weary in well-doing. He didn't say, hey guys, don't be weary in well-doing. He says, you know why Paul said, let us not be weary in well-doing? Because Paul got weary in well-doing. And he had to encourage himself in the Lord. Jesus knew that. Paul includes himself in being weary. That's an encouragement not to be weary. You have to make a decision. You have to take steps in preventing this. And if we overcome the temptation to let weariness take us out, if we overcome the temptation of letting weariness take us out, like Joseph did not let weariness, you can't help. He was a human being. The man had to get tired of the roller coaster. How many times did he cry himself to sleep? I don't know. But he never lost his character. He stayed by the stuff. He trusted God no matter come what may. He stuck with it. And he reaped. Boy, did he reap. A promise from Scripture. Always remember, and I've said this before, when you can't see the hand or hear the voice of God, you can trust His heart. When He's silent and you're doing right, and when He's silent, it's not that He's walked away, it's that He's preparing. He's got some big plans. It may not be that you're going to end up being the second in charge of Egypt, but He's got plans. Not little plans, huge plans. We know the story, and we'll get there sooner or later. Pharaoh makes Joseph the number two. He tells Joseph this: only when I'm sitting on my throne will I be greater than you. Whoo! I don't know if I was fair, I wouldn't get off the throne. I'll tell you that right now. I stayed there. But this man was put in from the pit to Potiphar to prison to the palace. All because he stayed by the stuff. Be not weary in well-doing. Some of you are weary. We were talking last night in our men's prayer meeting. We were talking about, we believe that the devil is attacking our church. And I believe that. I believe that's why there's been health issues. I believe that that's why there's been certain things that have taken place. I believe it's spiritual warfare. And I told him last night, I said, you know, we have one or two options. We can back down because we're sick and tired of the devil messing with us and we just want some reprieve. Or we can move forward and knock him in his teeth. And I'm going to knock him in his teeth. He ain't bigger than my God. Is he bigger than your God? He ain't got nothing. We got it all. He's got an eternal future of separation from God in the lake of fire. I got eternal heaven. And I ask God to protect me and my family and you and your family. And I'll tell you this, we'll stick with it and go by the stuff and we'll not be weary in well-doing and we will reap if we faint not. What if Joseph would have quit? I'm done. Forget this. I'm going to live my life as good as I can in this prison for myself, and I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'm just tired of it. God's put me on this roller coaster. I don't understand what I've done to Him. I've done nothing but good to Him, and He's done nothing but bad to me. Now, don't tell me that you can't think that way, because no matter how good God's been to you, when something bad happens, you're like, why are you doing this to me? So I've never, you're a liar. If you've ever said, what in the world is going on? You're not talking to yourself. Who are you talking to? You're talking to God. You don't even know it. You're blaming somebody and you don't want to blame yourself. Your wife won't let you. Hey, Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you'll reap. Joseph's a perfect example of that. If you're saved, remember Joseph. Silence. Maybe you feel God hasn't spoken in weeks, months, or years in your life. You know you're not perfect, but you know that you're seeking His face, and you know you're trying to keep short accounts with God. He's working. Trust Him. If there's something that you need to get forgiveness for, ask Him and He'll do it, and then trust Him. Maybe you need to be a servant leader. Maybe you need to use your talents for the Lord. Maybe you're getting weary in well-doing. May I encourage you not to? Here's how I'm going to encourage you not to be weary in well-doing. I want you to be strong in the Lord. When you're weak, depend upon His strength. When you're weak, tell Him. Be transparent with Him. Don't think you're a super Christian. No one is. Share your heart. Plead the blood of Jesus. Remind yourself of His promises, and may God encourage your heart. That's what I have to do. Or we'll get weary in well-doing. Don't. What does God have in store for Victory Baptist Church? I don't know, but it could be as big as second in command of Pharaoh's house. I don't know. But if we don't stick by the stuff, we're never going to find out. So trust His heart. You're in a roller coaster, some of you. You are so discouraged right now. You are so down. Hey, I want you to know it always comes to pass. It never comes to stay. Stick by the stuff. The pit didn't last forever. He got to go to Potiphar's house. I bet you the Potiphar's house was better than the pit. Well, the prison probably wasn't nice as Potiphar's house, but the palace was. It never comes to stay. It always comes to pass. Stick with the stuff. And I want you to see that in chapter 40 of Genesis.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed the study from God's Word today. We also stream our services live on Facebook. Facebook.com/Victory Baptist Church WV. Thank you so much for joining us, and have a blessed day.